For the last couple of days, we've been studying or looking at this, preferring the other more than you. And that's really the meaning of humility, as we talked about before. But let's look at it from another standpoint. Go to Psalm 34. Start in verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's an incredible statement.
Yeah.
What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? That he may see good? It's a question mark. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as have, as be of a contrite spirit. What happened?
Well, I thought he was leaving. Maybe he's just carrying Mandito's backpack.
Oh.
Sorry. He left his phone if he is leaving.
He's just giving somebody something.
The point of this thing about verse 17, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Yeah.
Contrite is the extreme form of humility.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of word, but it's more extreme. I can't remember the.
Yeah, I think John looked it up one time. Like crushed.
Yeah, it means crushed to powder almost.
Yeah.
And that the whole idea of it is that man's ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That is the end. That is the only future for Adam, for the man, for the being. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And every time we think we've arrived, all hell breaks loose again.
Yeah.
So this whole idea of a broken heart and a contrite spirit is the bottom line to what God requires man, Well, let's look at it another way. Let's look at Psalm 51. Start in verse 10. Well, no, let's read the psalm. That's really important. So we'll start at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. So we've got those three things again. We've got transgression, iniquity, and sin. They don't mean the same things. Iniquity is the fruit of the fall, wanting to be like God, knowing good and evil. Sin is who we are. It's not what we do. And transgression is what sin does. Everybody understand that? Iniquity caused you to be sin, or the man of sin, or the woman of sin. Transgression is what sin does. There's no hope for it. All right, go to... we're still reading. I lost my place.
Three. Four.
Oh. Oh, I see. I know where I am now. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Is ever before you. Is always with you. Your sin is always with you. It's probably the most controversial thing that I've ever talked about. Is that this whole mystery of the Antichrist. And it's again, we look at it from the English word anti. It means, obviously, you're against him. But that's not what it means. Again, I'm going to repeat this for a long time, forever and ever, as long as I'm alive. The word anti in Antichrist isn't a translation. It's called a transliteration, where they took the same word. It's like the same with baptized. Baptized is from the Greek word baptizo. So it's almost it's a new word. Here, anti is the Greek word anti, and it doesn't mean against, it means instead of. You are the temple of God. That's what it says if you're a believer. But you're only a temple of God when the Antichrist, the instead of Christ in you, dies. And who is the instead of Christ in you? You are. I am. That's why the mind of Christ is no longer the mind of Son of Man. The mind of Christ is emptying. Emptying to a point of a vacuum. But how quickly we become proud. We And that's the Antichrist's job, is to always put himself back in the picture. The most effective way the Antichrist puts you back in the picture is it accuses you. You understand that? Maybe your mind doesn't do that. But I will bet a lot of money that it does do it. Now, what this is talking about here, let's continue reading. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Now, for a long time, for many years in the church, not in any time the church was in tune with God, but just before the Reformation, and in many cases now, the original sin is taught as being sex, or sex outside of marriage. Has anybody been in a hearing where that's taught?
What? Not in the churches I was in.
So, but that's the whole. The whole that's not this. That's not the original sin. The original sin is Adam and Eve trying to rise up to God. They didn't fall. They rolled. They tried to arise because of this thing. Yeah. And so, in that arising, the fruit of it is what? It's self-seeking, self-awareness, and by definition, when there's self-awareness, there's comparison. Whenever there's comparison, there's judgment. And once there's judgment, you've left the mercy seat and gone to the judgment seat. And I don't think any of you want to be on the judgment seat. All right, continuing. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inner parts, or inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The hidden part. This is a revelation of Christ. But he isn't revealed until you die. And then the evil one's job is constantly to bring you back into the picture. All right, continue. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with the free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy goodness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Again, this word contrite, it's the superlative of broken.
Yeah.
Let's look at it in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 57. Verse 10. Thou art weary. He's talking to you and I now. Thou art weary in the greatness of thy way, or the difficulty of thy way. What is, again, why is the way so difficult? Because it's difficult, because your mind is constantly accusing you and then coming up with some solution so you can fail again, and then, or even you, so you may be successful and you find out it's meaningless. But God helps somebody that puts God's name on all of that. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. How many thousand times has that been happened? Has you are wearied in the greatness of your way, but you sayest not, there is no hope. Because you look towards the east and wait for the next day, and the new day is going to bring you. No, it won't. But it's the trick of the evil one, your mind. Now, are you worried enough of the greatness of your way so you can say out loud this incredible statement, there is no hope? Or do you start, again, putting God's name on your ideas? This will get me out. This will fix me. You are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet thou sayest not, there is no hope. You have found again the life of your hand, the new idea, the new thing. He was not grieved. So you found hope again. The only hope, hope is only used once in the Old Testament, the word. And it's in the Old Testament, it means hidden in the cleft of a rock to protect you. But in the New Testament, hope is never, ever used except the meaning of the resurrection. If you have hope in anything other than the resurrection of Christ in you, then you're a fool. But your mind is trying to tell you something different. Verse 11, and of whom hast thou been afraid? Or fear that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. You have no righteousness and works in God's eyes. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies, or former so-called friends, or words, deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them away, all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me, only in me, shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And what is this holy mountain? What is this holy high place? The only mountain or high thing he's talking about here is the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
The mother of us all. And the New Jerusalem is not of this world. The New Jerusalem is in eternity. Is eternity. The only thing in eternity. But we're not to the good part yet. He that putteth, back to the last part of verse 13. He that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Now the stumbling block that's universal is the need for self-awareness and self-improvement. It's the fall. Or the attempt to rise, it should be called, instead of the fall. You are still at the mercy. Well, no, I won't go there. For thus, but anyway, that's what preaching of the cross, it takes the stumbling block out of the way of his people, because the stumbling block is your mind. Needs this constant need for self-awareness and self-improvement. You can try yoga, you can try every form of making your mind obey. It won't. For thus, in verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and lofty place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. Now to revive here means bring back the fullness of the revelation of Christ in you as your only, no more leaning in your own arm of understanding for anything, no more calculating, no more cause and effect. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the soul which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and I smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his own heart. Does that sound like anybody you know? Like you? I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. You understand?
It's an interesting way they put it, restore comforts to him and to his mourners. Almost like you're already dead there.
Well, it means you recognize you're dead.
And yeah.
Point of it, then this promise comes. I create the fruit of the lips, peace to peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked, or the wicked ones, are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked one. And if you don't know that your mind is the wicked one by now, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what else you can do to hear it. Oh, no, now I put Christ's name on my wicked one. Now, no, you can't do that. That's an illusion. All right, any response to anybody? From anybody, not to anybody. Any questions? All right, take a big breath.